It is Wildlife Week again coming up. An overview first off, perhaps, Laura, what actually happens on Wildlife Week? What's the whole concept behind it?
So Wildlife Week was thought up in 2017 and then started in 2018 as a way to launch the NBN Atlas Isle of Man. So the NBN Atlas is this massive repository of biological data, and it's free to access by the public. And it was a real milestone that the Isle of Man became a partner in this, because we have masses of biological data which conservation and governmental bodies had sort of gathered together over the years. And it was it's really useful for research and learning about our environment and being able to measure change over time. And the fact that also it's publicly available, so anybody can have a look at it just if they're interested, if they go, oh, I want to know where basking sharks have occurred over the last 100 years or 50 years. You know, I can see where they've been around the Isle of Man, and then maybe I can go and have a look at them, or have a look at numbers. Has recording of things gone up or down? You know, it's a really amazing resource, and we got onto that bandwagon and got our own site. So that was fantastic. But we thought that launching a website is a bit boring. We thought, yeah, not many people are going to be particularly excited about that. But we thought that we can get lots of people excited about wildlife and biodiversity and just kind of connecting to nature. Because I think the more that you connect to something, the more you love it, and then the more you want to look after it. So we put the call out to all of the NGOs and people that are interested in wildlife and monitoring our environment, and said, you know, we'd love to be a platform to help you promote what you do. And, you know, perhaps especially if somebody's like a one-man band, they might not normally do that kind of outreach stuff as often, because they maybe don't have the facility or don't know how to go about it. And the fact that we'd say, well, we can do some of that work for you, and we'll help launch you and promote you. And maybe you can get some people interested in what you do, and that will then grow. And also as well, sort of connecting with each other, you know, all of our organisations, we do work closely with each other and coordinate things, but also to just have a time of the year where we all get together and say, yeah, let's do a big splash and do something, you know, lovely that we can, and encourage people to have fun and love nature. So that's why we're really grateful for Monks Wildlife Trust and UNESCO Biosphere, because they're always really strong partners for this. You know, they've always offered up some fantastic events. And so, yeah, we're really lucky.
So this is where Manx Wildlife Trust comes in, is it, Lucy? It's this maybe more practical side, this idea of actually getting the events together in this case?
Yes, yeah. So we've offered up, I think it's 6 or 7 events to the schedule, but there's lots of other conservation charities and groups, and as Laura said, individuals who have come on board as well. So We've got events that range from having a look around some of our reserves, around our nature discovery centres. So we've got a Nature Rocks event for families down at Scarlet. That's run by our volunteers at the Scarlet Nature Discovery Centre. And then we've got some events that are run by groups that we've been working with through our Team Wilder project, which aims to connect with the community, which are focused around mindfulness. We've got a mindfulness with the Dawn Chorus event that starts at 5 a.m. which isn't one I'm going to be at, but one of my colleagues is. And then we've also something that I'm quite excited about. We've got a couple of events that focus on gardening. So something that I do in my Team Wilder work is talk to people about what they love about wildlife, and often that starts in the garden, and that can be on a tiny window box outside an apartment or a big garden. And we've got a couple of open garden events happening. We've got a wildlife gardening course starting soon, which is a 10-week course. We're finding that people more and more want to work out how they can bring more wildlife into their own garden, so it's really part of their everyday life.
So this sort of encapsulation of all sides, I suppose, of nature, whether it's actually something practical, the gardening, or as Lucy was mentioning, things like, you know, mindfulness. I know there's yoga incorporated into this. All ticks all the boxes for Biosphere, Joe.
Yeah, absolutely. Our involvement in Manx Wildlife Week is twofold, really. We have a responsibility to connect people up with nature and to link people into how their actions and behaviours can improve the lot of nature or have a negative effect. But also, and equally importantly, I think, to connect people up for enjoyment and engagement reasons, so that they appreciate the nature and wildlife we have on our doorstep, want to take, want to look after it, take action for it, care for it, and enjoy it, and enjoy life in the Isle of Man.
Is it difficult getting new people involved in this? We were chatting just before coming up, and quite often the converted are there all the time, as it were, and coming along. Is it getting new people through the door? Is that the hardest part each year when we have these sort of events?
Yeah, I think so. There are those individuals and families and people that see getting out into nature as an outlet, as something joyful and interesting. And then there's other people that are just, quite closeted, or just don't think of going outside or enjoying nature in that way. They're not, they're just not connected to it. And I think that is one of the problems of conservation and environmentalism and everything, is trying to key into a message which would bring somebody who wouldn't traditionally think of looking at that as a joyful outlet or an interesting outlet, and turning it into something. And it can be done in so many different ways, whether it could be a creative way, or with food, or, somebody who isn't particularly interested in going outside or going for walks or watching wildlife, but they love food, and say, well, if you don't look after the environment, you will have not very nice food. And, trying to get to them, because sometimes as well, support doesn't have to be, or you're a specialist, or you've dedicated 40 years of your life to working in the environment or something. It could just be that you choose to buy a product which is made locally, or that you really enjoy buying fruits and vegetables that are grown locally, and you will support a local farmer, or you would buy presents that are made locally, involving things like that, or creative things. So maybe you're into knitting, but you would choose like a local Manx wool, although, you probably wouldn't want a jumper from Lockton, that'd be a bit itchy, I think. But, things like that. So it's just about trying every way to sort of get people involved and say the environment is a part of every single aspect of our lives. You can't avoid it. The table that you use, the car that you drive, everything is from the planet. And if you don't look after it, then, those resources are going to disappear. So how do you tap into that and at least get people understanding that there might have to be some changes?
I think it's also very easy to overlook what we have right on our own doorstep, and we become very complacent about this beautiful, stunning place we live in that's sort of teeming with nature. I think, for example, none of us live more than 7 miles from a marine nature reserve or something. That would be something you would pack the car and go and see if you lived in the UK or beyond. And I'm certainly very guilty of sort of driving to work without even thinking about what I'm seeing on the way past.
Yeah, so, I think we all do that.
Yeah, so this is a week to kind of stop and, reflect. And I think it's also a great week, to kind of find a new hobby or find a new group to join, or, try something different. And I think the benefits of being out in nature or connecting with nature for well-being are becoming much better known and appreciated now. It's something like, just 10 minutes in nature lowers the blood pressure, lowers the heart rate, and, lowers the stress levels, something like that.
Most of us need more than 10 minutes.
Most of us manage to find 10 minutes to scroll through Facebook, don't we? So I'm sure we can find 10 minutes during Manx Wildlife Week to go and do something a bit different.
There's a lot of events on, and as we're hinting at, I think you've got the flavour now, that there really is something for everyone, whether you like to get your hands dirty or whether you're looking for something more creative, whether that's painting, whether that's mindfulness, whether that's yoga, whether that's maybe photography. Also sound, something else you mentioned, Joe, and I think a rare treat, I think, with famed sound recordist Chris Watson coming over, who, well, I think he's Mr. Sound Recording when it comes to wildlife.
Yeah, we always like to do something a little bit different, as you say, to connect up new audiences. And this year we've been really lucky to secure a gentleman called Chris Watson, who's coming to the Manx Museum on the 4th of May, Saturday evening, the 4th of May, to do a talk called Wavelength, Songs Under the Surface. Chris is a really interesting guy. He is a founder member of the avant-garde 70s band Cabaret Voltaire, for anyone old enough to remember that band.
Yes, I do. And has ever put the two together.
And he's gone on to be, a TV sound recordist, soundologist, I think the expression is. He's won BAFTAs for his work with Sir David Attenborough's Life On programmes and other programmes with Sir David. And his connection with the Isle of Man is really interesting. He's been working with a group of academics that have been sort of reimagining the work of a writer from the Wirral, who was one of the first environmentalists, I suppose, really, and, you know, and kind of, you know, wanted to connect people up with the sea and challenges it faced and things like that. And so these guys have been coming over sort of three or four times to the island now and taking sound recordings, and they've got a massive website of sort of sound sounds and podcasts and things. So that's Chris's local connection. And he's going to be playing some sound recordings over some pretty impressive speakers that we're going to have in. And everything from the blue whale, which is, you know, the biggest of the big, to local limpets grazing, which is not something you ever thought you needed to hear, but you probably do now.
I'm so intrigued.
Something a bit different.
And there was also another one we were looking at, and they mentioned was on this ticking this sort of cultural side of things. And again, from your perspective with the biosphere, it's, yes, it's all about sustainability. It's about living with the environment, being sympathetic, but this cultural side of life and appreciating your cultural heritage as well. And there's a piece, I think, with Annie Kissick, actually, on Mona Douglas.
That's right, yeah. I mean, culture, the way we did live, the way we do live, and the way we will live is absolutely intrinsic to everything, really, isn't it? And certainly our existence as a designation as a biosphere. Annie Kissick, Manx bard, of course, and poet, and, you know, well-known in other circles too, was a friend of the late Mona Douglas. You know, I think it's a cultural icon, really, in the Isle of Man. Ray Blaine, Eva Nannan, Mannan's Choice Award winner, and various other accolades, MBE. Mona, although not born on the Isle of Man, moved here at a very young age and was just in touch with the island. You know, she was an environmental campaigner. She was a storyteller, a poet, an author, very, very in touch with what was under her feet. And Annie had the privilege of being a friend of Mona's. We had an event recently with the great people at Manx Litfest, and Annie gave an introductory talk on Mona. And but, you know, just as a sort of flavour of the day ahead, and we just said, this has to be turned into a talk. You know, this is so interesting, and Mona had such a rich and colourful life that we've got Annie to expand it out to a full-length talk. And that will be on Tuesday the 30th of April at 7:30 at the Morton Hall in Castletown, with the good old traditional tea and biscuits afterwards.
Excellent. Can't go wrong. Can't go wrong. Couple of events there you can do in the warm and dry. I'm assuming the Manx Wildlife Trust will have some events lined up for those who might enjoy the warm and dry, but also very happy to get out, get muddy, get dirty, get wet.
Yeah, we've got plenty of outdoor events. So on the sound theme that we were just talking about, one of our volunteers, who's a musician, Jenny Chan, is taking a group of people out for a sound walk out in nature, exploring the connection between nature and what we hear and how we feel. So I've been lucky enough to do one of those, and it's amazing. It's a really gentle introduction for those people who maybe aren't ready for a full hike, but for some of the people who want to get out a little bit more, we've got Andre, one of our conservation officers, who's doing a tour and a talk around the grasslands, which are a very special limestone soil at Belown, which he's been looking after. But there's also other amazing charities as well. So Manx Birdlife are doing a tour of the amazing work that they're doing up at the Point of Thar.
Beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, and then sort of going from a really big, expansive experience like that down to something just that's much more personal. What can I do at home in my own life? We've got Phil Corlett, who's amazing, who's going to be in Douglas doing a composting workshop. So it's really spreading from getting out into some really big, vast landscapes right down to, you know, right in the centre of Douglas, learning what we can do in our own kitchens.
Compost spreading, a song. I like what you did there. Very good. Very good. Running sort of concurrently, Laura, the Wild Man Nature Photographic Exhibition.
Yes. So this was, we ran a nature photography competition last year. And because Manx National Heritage brought over the Wildlife Photographer of the Year from the Natural History Museum last year, and that was super popular, and we got so much good feedback from that. And so we thought, well, we'd love, because the Isle of Man has, we do have the opportunity to very quickly get out into some fantastic landscapes and capture some beautiful wildlife that a lot of people perhaps don't realise is a privilege. If so living across, there was, you know, I'd only ever managed to see a raven in the small isles of Scotland and in the Tower of London. I'd never seen a chough other than in the mountains of Montenegro. I don't think I'd ever seen a peregrine, or possibly like a very small dot very far away. And just the
the fact that we get to see these things very regularly is just absolutely incredible. And I don't know about you, but I see lots of people coming up in my feed of like Manx birds from my garden or Manx photography groups, and I always see the most fantastic photos. I mean, just breathtaking. I think, well, there's so much talent on the island. Let's ask them to submit some natural history photography to us, and let's see what we can get. So we ran the competition over quite a long period of time, about 6 months, because we wanted to give people a chance to capture certain things, and obviously some things might be migratory or seasonal. And we weren't disappointed. We got over 200 images submitted, and there's going to be just over 50 in the exhibition. And so that's going to be running from the 26th of April to the 27th of April, sorry, to the 23rd of June. And I hope that as many people as possible come to have a look, because the thing is that most of us have access to a camera in our pockets, you know, our phones. And there have been some images submitted to us that have been taken on phones and are still absolutely incredible. But there's also some people that you can tell have developed their craft over years and have just an incredible talent. And some of them are absolutely incredible. I particularly love all the macro photography, because I just, the detail and just the world that they show you, being able to zoom in such an incredible way, they're just super interesting and fab.
Okay. Also complementing Manx Wildlife Week, we are launching our Young Nature Champion competition on Monday. Previously Young Nature Writer, it's run for a few years, but we've expanded it out this year. So as well as accepting written entries, we're also going to be encouraging video and audio entries. And that's open to anyone aged 21 and under. And we work with Manx Wildlife Trust, Manx Ornithological Society, and this year Love Tech for the first time. Again, encouraging young people to go out, connect up with nature and tell us how it makes them feel, or, you know, what their favourite creature is or their favourite place to go to see nature. So we hope that Manx Wildlife Week will encourage people to take an interest in the competition. It runs right until autumn half term, so young people have got a long time to get involved.
Now, you're all invested in it, of course, in one way or another. Anything particularly individually you're looking forward to? And we've mentioned quite a few things there. There are an awful lot more we haven't mentioned yet. Anything, you know, I'm looking at things like Himalayan balsam, sort of finding out about invasive species, like I said, yoga, I think, you know, meat Pepsi, there's all sorts of stuff going on. Anything that anyone is thinking, you know what, you know, regardless of my own investment, I'd like to go along to that.
I really want to see the Gaia installation that's going to be at St Thomas's Church in Douglas. So that actually starts before Manx Wildlife Week. But it's running over the span of it. And I had heard about this installation before. And then when I was told that it was coming to the Isle of Man, I was like, oh my God, that is super cool. It's an artist who has taken very, very high resolution imagery from NASA of the Earth. And he then projects it onto, well, I don't know how he does it, but they erect this huge globe that's over 6 meters in diameter in various, they've done it in various places in the UK. And so it's going to come here. And I think I found that it encapsulated the entirety of what we're trying to do. Is, you know, we want people to appreciate the Earth and the finite resources that it has and our place in it. And to just see that as this relatively small blue dot that we've kind of encapsulated in a building, and get that, you know, when you heard Neil Armstrong, when he, was it Neil Armstrong who described the pale blue dot, you know, like people in space would like look back. Oh no, actually, I think it was a physicist. I've forgotten his name. Anyway, he described Earth as this pale blue dot, you know, in this infinite huge space, and how fragile it is. And I think that this installation tries to capture that. And I think I may even get a bit emotional when I look at it, because I just think, God, you know, it is so fragile, and he's kind of encapsulated that entire idea by putting it in a building, and you can just look at it and just go, oh my God, you know. So I'm quite, as you can tell, I'm quite quite looking forward to that.
I think, well,
I was looking at the schedule and I thought, well, there's no time to work, is there? I want to go to all of it.
Yes.
At the Gaia
Exhibition. So working at some of it.
I know, yeah, so that's lucky. At the Gaia Exhibition, we've got our UNESCO Biosphere Artist in Residence doing a workshop there, which will be really exciting. I really love the amount of art and creativity that's been brought into the schedule here. I think it's a really important way to connect to people. I think for me, when I look at the schedule, I see a celebration of all of the experts, all of the people who care, and they want to share a little bit of their passion, a little bit of their craft, a little bit of their expertise with everybody. And I think when we look at, you know, the data where this the Wildlife Week all started, often the graphs are going in the wrong direction. We get very bombarded with information about biodiversity loss, climate change. People are in danger of turning away from that. And I think it's so important that we have these events, which are a real celebration of what we have got, what we can do. And that's when the gardening comes in, the composting comes in as a really accessible thing. This is a small thing that I can do to feel good that I'm doing my part. So yeah, it's a whole schedule for me, just a celebration of what we're doing and what the possibilities are.
It is a wonderful celebration, Jo. Anything that you're looking forward to celebrating?
One of the great successes in our DEFA team at the moment is the recording and the restoration of our peatlands, which, you know, of nature's gift to climate change, more or less. And some really great work going on there from the Uplands team. And they are leading, I think, for the more sort of hardcore outdoor adventure, a sort of 4 or 5 hour walk on Saturday, the 27th of April, the very start of Manx Wildlife Week, to talk about some of that work, but also just to get to some of the more inaccessible parts of the Isle of Man that most of us probably never tread. And their knowledge is incredible. I've done this walk before and it will be absolutely fantastic. And it's followed by a good slap-up lunch at the wonderful Victory Cafe as well. So a bit of carrot and stick.
What's not to like? There really is something for everyone. It is a celebration, as you say, of our environment, of our biosphere here, of the wonderful place we actually choose to live here on the Isle of Man, and how we can live sustainably and in a livable way with it and appreciate the whole thing. So it's really bringing so many of these different strands together and hopefully bringing some new people through the door to actually appreciate what a special place we live in here on the Isle of Man, and indeed around the globe generally, just appreciating the environs we're in. So just give us the dates then, where people, if they want to find out more, hopefully if they've listened to this, they will want to find out more. Where's the best place to go?
So if they go onto the Manx National Heritage What's On page, that's a great way to get a full overview of everything that's going on. There'll be links to click through to all the places that if you need to book a ticket, you can do. Lots of events are also drop in as well. So there's a variety there. But do check on, because there's a few things that have already sold out and have limited places. And it's running from Saturday the 27th of April to Sunday the 5th of May. And there'll be stuff for families through to things that are a bit more academic. And also there's stuff in the mornings, afternoons and evenings. So there's a lot of variety there.
And I think it's also worth saying that if things have sold out, there are a couple of events that have sold out. Most of these groups have got a Facebook page, so you could follow their Facebook page. And often these events will be run in some format throughout the year. So if you've missed out this time, don't worry. If you keep an eye on what's happening with these conservation groups and experts, there'll be another chance at some point.